Zvachim Perik Yud Mishnah Ches 10:8, the last of the Perik, and the truth is this is a bit off topic. It's a question why it's even here exactly. Presumably since the previous Mishnah talked about the eating of the Korbanos and the rules that govern that, we're going to talk about eating of Menachos as well over here in a sort of indirect way. The truth is that the pivotal issue of this Mishnah, though you don't see it at first at all, is whether a person is permitted to volunteer oil as a mincha to itself. In other words, no meal, just a, you know, essentially a bucket of oil, or more precisely a lug of oil, which is, you can assume it to be, say, a half a liter. Okay, so more like a jar of oil than a bucket. Now, although that's the pivotal issue, the way the Mishnah is structured, it's Rabbi Shimon basically saying, since his position is, since you can't voluntarily give just the jar of oil without, like, on its own, no such thing, therefore he's going to say, if you see oil being given to Kohanim for eating, or oil going onto the Mizbeach, what could it be? And that's the way he structures it. And therefore, the Mishnah says, Amar Shimon, Rav Shimon holds, he says, Imra Isa Shemen Shu Mischalek Ba'azara. If you see oil being apportioned to the Kohanim in the Azara, meaning that's like some kind of leftover, if you will, from Korbanos, he doesn't hold that the oil could be anything to do with a standalone oil gift. And therefore, what could it be? Says he, Eina tatzarech lish ol mahud. No need to ask what it could be, because your options are limited to two things. Ela mosa rekike menchas Yisrael. Possibility A is that it's the leftovers or the surplus that's used in the making of a mincha called a rekikin by a Yisrael, meaning non-Kohen. Or v'lug shemen shel metzora, or the leftovers of the oil that a metzora brings. What are these two cases here? So when you bake a mincha in an oven, and the Yisrael non-Kohen brings it, so really it can be done in two ways. Either it can be baked into chalos, which essentially you can imagine like Sephardic matzah, if you will. So it's not chametz stick, but it's like, you know, close to pita bread. If you've never seen Sephardic matzah, you think of a pita. And the other possibility is rakikin, which are like wafers or crackers. So think of like Ashkenazi matzah, so to speak, kind of thin crackery things. Now the recipe for menachos, there are a number of menachos, and the way they're prepared are different. But the ingredients essentially are all the same. Ingredients almost always for menachos are a tenth of an epha of flour, meaning 43.2 eggs volume of flour. It's quite a lot of flour. And then a lug of shemen. A lug is, think of it as half a liter. If you don't know liters, think of it as a pint of two cups of oil, something like that. Okay, now in the case of chalos, for example, you mix the two together and make it into like a dough and then bake it. If rakikin, however, for the crackers, what happens is first you bake the dough in the oven, as like, think of like matzah, right? Just like water. And then you'll put the oil on afterwards, okay? There's a bit of a discussion exactly how the oil is applied. The Bar Tanura understands it's kemin kaf yevanit, whatever that looks like. Others learn it's like it's a chi, the Greek letter chi, an X shape. So whatever it is, you basically, let's just, you put an X of oil on top of the rakikin and on top of the crackers. And according to Rabbi Shimon anyways, after you do that, you have leftover oil. So the rakikin, you know, whatever, you put them on the fire, with the komets on the fire, and the rest you eat. The point is, what do you do with the rest of the oil? It's a standalone thing you eat by itself. You can dip your bread into whatever the story is. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the process for making rakikin has leftover oil. Once you only put an X worth, and that's that. The rest is left over, and that would be what would be given to the Kohanim for consumption. The Chum actually disagree with that premise. They say if you make rakikin, you have to essentially keep on adding more oil, like another X worth of oil until it's all absorbed into the crackers, and therefore there'll be nothing left over. So it's not even a thing by them, and that's the halacha. But anyways, so that's one possibility, says Rabbi Shimon. The other possibility is the Luk Shemen Shel Metzora. The Metzora, you know who he is, right? He got Tzara'as for his whatever antisocial behavior. When he starts getting better and he can become Tahor, so he brings a number of Korbanos, an Asham, a Chatas, and Ola. We actually talked about the Asham being the central one not long ago in this very parak here. So the point is that at the end of the process, the last thing happens is the blood of the Asham is applied to like his Tanuch, like I call it his ear, his inside of his ear, like, okay, not in the ear canal, but the ear, center part of the ear. And then also on his right thumb and right toe. Now after that, then there's oil. he brings a lug of shemen and this oil. So the Kohen will kind of spritz it seven times towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then he'll get a second Kohen. The second Kohen will kind of cup his left hand. The oil will be poured into the left hand, and then the other Kohen dips his right finger into the, Kohen A dips his right finger into Kohen B's left hand, which is full of oil. And again, implies that oil is the same place you put the blood, the middle of the right ear, right thumb, right toe, big toe. And then what's left over in the left hand of that Kohen B gets smeared on top of the head of the Metzorah, and then he becomes Tahor. But, the cupped hand of a Kohen doesn't hold a lug, half a liter of oil. So it's left over now, that goes to the Kohanim. And so Rabbi Shimon says that's what it could be also. The other possibility would only be that there's a Metzorah leftover oil, and that goes to the Kohanim for consumption. Because, says he, there's no possibility of just generic gifts of oil, which would be a portion to Kohanim for consumption. Further says Rabbi Shimon, Imra Isa Shemen Shu Nasun Al Gabi Ha'ishim, if you see Kohanim applying oil directly to the fires of the Mizbeach, so what could that possibly be? Again, he doesn't hold that it could be a possibility of just people giving oil in itself as a gift, and therefore, Eina Tatzarech Lishol Mahu, there's no point in asking what it is, because there's only two possibilities. Either A, Elamosa Rekike Minchos Kohanim, the same kind of thing, if a Kohen, whenever a Kohen brings a Mincha, the rule is, that's a pasuk, that when a Kohen brings a mincha, it's all burned on the fire, he may not eat any of it, and therefore, although, says Rabbi Shimon, the recipe for making rakikin has leftover oil, that oil will be burned if the Kohen is the one who brought the rakikin, and therefore, if you see oil going on the fire directly, it's left over from the rakikin process, because, fine, again, the halacha is not like that, the halacha is like the chum, which is, you apply all the oil until it all gets absorbed into the rakikin. The other possibility, says Rabbi Shimon, is Uminchas Kohen HaMashiach. The other possibility is leftover oil from the manufacturer of the Mincha, the Kohen Mashiach. Kohen Mashiach here refers to a Kohen Gadol. Every day the Kohen Gadol has to bring, by the way, it's Kohen Gadol, however he became Kohen Gadol, not just if it's Mashuch B'Shemen like we had in Horios, but even if he just like Merubim B'Gadim, he wears the eight vestments, he's the Kohen Gadol, he brings the Mincha every day. Technically, he doesn't have to bring it, he has to just pay for it, but the point is, he will pay for a special Chavitin offering, however that's made. Notably, the Chavitin is first baked and then fried. It's fried in a lot of oil. The usual recipe I told you is the tenth of an Eifa, the Isaron of, which is 43.2 eggs worth of flour. It's a lot of flour, actually, and mixed with a lug of oil, and it becomes a kind of a very thick, think of like, creamy peanut butter, that consistency, okay? It's like you could stick a fork and it'll stand up. But the recipe is different when it comes to the Kohen Gadol's chavit, and there you have three lug of oil used. I mean, more than that, first you bake it before you fry in that oil, so it's not that absorbent, there's lots of oil, there's oil left over, so after the Kohen's chavitin is manufactured, and half is off in the morning, half in the afternoon, every day. There's leftover oil. And that oil must be put on the mizbeach. So says Reb Shimon, that's what that oil could be. Again, he rejects the possibility of someone just putting oil on his mizbeach as a gift, because as he says explicitly, she'ein misnadin shemen. According to Reb Shimon, there's no such thing as volunteering to bring a gift of oil on its lonesome. Not a thing. Reb Tarfon Omer, misnadin shemen. Yes, you can. There's such a thing. That's called a gift. Just so you can give a flower offering or whatever it is, you can give an oil offering, and then the oil offering is just oil. Now, there's a machlokas in the Gemara. If it's a baya holds, it's all burned, according to Rabbi Tarfon. It's just the whole oil goes in the fire, nothing left over. That's the Bartanura learns. There's another sheet of Shmuel, which is how the Rambam paskins, which is actually the oil doesn't all get poured in the fire. Essentially, the Kohanim will take a komet's worth, and it's a liquid, right? But it was a handful of oil. It'll actually be salted and put on the mizbeach, okay, however that works exactly logistically, but you have a remainder, you're given at least a lug of oil, that's a minimum, so the rest of the jar is full of oil, that doesn't go on the fire, so therefore it'll be given to the Kohanim for consumption. And therefore, the halacha will be, if you see oil being distributed in the Azara to Kohanim, it could be either leftover oil from a gift, because misnadvin shemen, you can give a gift of oil, or it could just be leftovers, in fact, from the Metzora's process. If you see oil going on the fire, again, it could very well just be a gift of someone giving shemen, the komet's worth that goes on the fire. It also could be leftover from the Kohen Gadol's chavitin, because there's oil leftover oil there. lahalacha, it wouldn't be the leftover oil for manufacturing the rakikin, the wafers of a kohen, because that lahalacha, we absorb all the oil into the wafers themselves. Okay, Bartura brings one last point here, which is interesting, which is in addition to being able to bring a gift of like pure oil, you also give a gift of pure wine. You can give 3 lugan of wine at least, and that's a gift as a like a mincha of wine, and they'll actually essentially pour that on the mizbeach. You might ask, wait a second, you can't pour wine on the mizbeach because it'll extinguish the fires, and there's an isser from extinguishing the fires. But says the Bartura, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, although not like Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, but there's a separate machlokes. Rabbi Shimon holds that a davar she'ena miskaven, if you do something but you don't, you're doing an action where the outcome of the action that you intend is permitted, but the outcome of the action that is happening also is forbidden. So in this case, you're not allowed to extinguish flames, but they are happening. They are getting extinguished partially, but you're not intending that. You're intending to just bring the wine as a gift. So then it's permitted to do. Lahalach, we pass away if it's not a psik resha. Bottom line, it's a complicated, contested issue, but the bottom line is that a davar she'ena miskaven, it's too complicated to sum up the halach l'maisa of that, but in general, here in the halach would be that you are, yes, allowed to apply the wine to the mizbeach as a gift all to itself as well.